Well, welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM. I am Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne Fox today, and we are very humbled to have with us Deacon Harold Brooks Sievers, who is speaking on April 2nd at the Diocese of Sioux City's Men's Conference up in Lamar's on April 2nd at All Saints Parish. And recently, Deacon was on Al Cresta here on EWTN and Siouxland Catholic Radio. And Deacon, you were talking about your brand new book about becoming a deacon, and we would love to hear more about it because we got to hear some that day, but we'd love to learn more. For those who missed your interview with Al Cresta, can you tell us first a little bit about your book?
Yeah, sure. So how that came about was a couple of things. One, you know, during COVID, I was kind of sitting at home like, okay, what now? You know, I'm a professional speaker, and I can't go out and speak, so what do I do now? So it's always been in my heart to write something on the diaconate, especially as my 20 years of ordination were quickly approaching. And so I decided to sit down and write something. I've been approached by Ave Maria Press about writing a book for them. And so I reached back out to them and said, hey, yeah, you asked me for an idea. You know, I'd like to write about the diaconate. And so we sat down and worked through it, and that's how this book came about. Because I had done an EWTN series. In fact, I did two. I did one of a five-part series on the diaconate, and then I did a series with Father Brian Mullady called Priests and Deacons, Ministers of Mercy. And so it's out of those two previous television series and my time at home with COVID that really motivated me to write this book. And so this is about the service ministry of the deacon. Typically, you hear about the three tiers of diaconal ministry, which is word, altar, and charity. But I like the Latin better, docendi, sanctificandi, regendi, teaching, sanctifying, and leading. So this book is about that third tier, the leading ministry, the leadership ministry, the service ministry of the deacon. And so the first part of the book talks about, like, okay, what is diaconal service? And how is that different from a layperson serving? So, for example, you have a deacon and a layperson working in St. Vincent de Paul. What's the difference, right? I mean, you know, in a sense, they're both doing the same thing. They're both in St. Vincent de Paul. Why is the spirituality of the deacon different than the spirituality of the layperson? And then I talk about the different aspects of how that spirituality is lived out in the marriage. So how the church looks at a man and says, this guy's serving well, in a sense, in the diaconia, in the diaconate of his family as a husband and father. The church discerns, can we take these same gifts that this man has and use those gifts in service to the entire church? And so I talk about what that process is like. And then the second part of the book looks at serving in the parish, and some of the tensions and struggles that happens in parishes, quite frankly, between deacons and priests, or deacons and laypersons, the deacon is taking my job, I'm better educated than him, you know, that I should be doing this instead, and why do we even need deacons, and that kind of thing. So I address that. And then the third part is serving outside of the parish, you know, because the deacon's ministry at the altar, you know, points to his ministry off of the altar. So, for example, that's why the deacon at Mass does the prayers of the faithful. Ever since the first century in the church, that when the deacon who comes from the people, makes the needs, when that people of God is gathered together, he makes the needs of the people known so that they could be prayed for. That's something that goes, if you look at the rubrics of the Mass going way back, you'll see that the deacon's always done that. And then the deacon, of course, dismisses people at the end of Mass. You know, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Get out of here. You know, now it's time for you to be Eucharist to the world. You just received Jesus in word and sacrament. Now go out there and be Eucharist to the world. And don't worry, I'm going to be there in the trenches with you from Monday to Saturday. You know, so what does that look like outside of the church, outside of the parish? So that's basically an overview of the book. And it's not just for deacons. It's not just for men in formation who are discerning the diaconate. It's of course it's for both of them, but it's also for lay people to really understand. A lot of pastors have deacons now, and so you know, yeah, I see him up there at the altar, but like, what does he really do? You know, what does that really look like? And so this book will really help, you know, all three groups: lay people who have deacons in the parish and want to understand the ministry better, men who are discerning the call to diaconate, and guys who are already ordained.
And Deacon, I appreciate your sharing that, because as a convert and seeing the growth of deacons, I didn't understand that. And so I appreciate your sharing it, and I'm sure others do too. And we are not having, young men are getting called to so many different areas, and that ministry of the deacon is becoming more and more important today. How do you, as a deacon, how do you see your role in supporting priests when we have fewer priests and the demands are not diminishing?
Yeah, one thing that's important to recognize is that the diaconate is not a substitution for the priesthood. So, yeah, there may be a shortage of priests. I'll say that I don't think there's a shortage of priests. I think the Holy Spirit is calling all the men that the church needs. It's the men aren't responding. That's the problem. I think the Holy Spirit is calling men, but for one reason or another, they're not responding boldly to the Holy Spirit who's leading them, who's calling them to service in the church. Because we have a culture that's antithetical to that way of thinking. So the diaconate is not a substitute for that. It's not like we're mini priests or we're wannabe priests or, you're married, you can't be a priest, so I guess you have to settle for being a deacon. No, it's a completely different ministry than the priesthood. And do we have a job in helping the priests and assisting the priests? Yes, but it looks like this, and I talk about it in the book. The priest is the shepherd, right? So the shepherd is the one who leads the flock, right? The shepherd is the one who feeds the flock. The deacons are more like the sheepdogs, right? We're the ones that gather the sheep together and bring them to the shepherd, you know? So our role in the parish and outside the parish is very different. That's why, for example, the deacon preaches only, the rubrics of the mass says the deacon only preaches occasionally at mass. Why? Because if they need to hear from the shepherd, the sheep need to hear from the shepherd. You know, they hear from us occasionally at mass. And I emphasize that at mass because most of our preaching and teaching as deacons happens outside of mass. So if we're leading a gravesite service or a funeral or a wedding where mass is not happening, so for example, you're marrying a Protestant, you're not going to have mass because Protestant can't receive communion and none of their family can receive. And so a deacon could do that wedding, and that's the purview where they preach. Or if they're doing an RCIA class, that's where their teaching and preaching comes into play. So we're not in competition with the priest. We're there to assist the bishop with his ministry of evangelization and to complement the priest in the parish in helping to build up the body of Christ. So it's just, again, it's a distinction in roles, but one role is not better than the other.
Deacon, how can we as ladies and how can we as wives of who might be married to a deacon, how can we better serve you all? To whether your ministry is on the altar or off the altar.
Yeah, so it's both and. It's on the altar, but again, how we serve at the altar points to how we serve off the altar. So they both complement each other. And so I think the best thing to do is to just, you know, if you have questions or, you know, like, yeah, I see the deacon up there every week but mostly they see the deacons at the altar because, I mean, a lot of people come, they go to Mass, and they may not have a lot of other interaction in the parish. You know, they may not be part of a Bible study or an adult faith formation program or working at St. Vincent de Paul or in the choir or whatever. So the only time they ever see the deacon is at Mass. So they may not even be aware of the other things that he's doing. So I would sit down and say, you know, hey, deacon, can you go to Mass? Can you come to lunch with us after Mass or the brunch. And I just want to learn more about what it is you do here at the parish because all I do is see you on the altar. you know, or, you know, for me, you know, my wife is a psychologist, so she doesn't do ministry with me in a sense, but she is 150,000% supportive of what I'm doing. And quite frankly, I couldn't be able to do what I'm doing the way I do it now without her love and support. And that's the biggest thing that a wife can give to her husband who's a deacon, is her love and support. And for guys that are in discernment, you have to listen to your wife and listen to her heart. You know, if you have – now, I was a very special case in the sense that I was accepted in the diaconal program at 30 years old. So I'd only been married for, a year and a half. And we had no kids at the time, you know, but I was still accepted into the program. So we had, you know, half of our kids while I was still in formation, you know, and that was very unusual because a lot of dioceses will wait until, like, the kids are older. Although canon law says, you can be ordained at 35. We have a lot of deacons who are much older, not because of the church law, but because the bishop feels that, well, I don't want the diaconate to interfere with the home life, so we'll wait till the kids are teenagers, and then he can start formation. But if you do that, you have a bunch of old guys as deacons, you know? But in our case, you know, I was ordained, I just turned 36. So it was a five-year program in our diocese, and I was accepted at 30, but there was no class that year, so I had to wait the next year. But all through that process, that wouldn't have, if my wife would have said, you know what, we're too young, we don't have kids yet, you know, I'd like you to wait until, you know, 2 years from now or 4 years from now. I have to, and the church won't move forward unless the wife gives the okay. So, but I had to listen to my wife's heart. But for her, she goes, you know what, you were a monk, and, you know, this, I could see through our whole marriage, you know, even though we were only been married like a year and a half, that your desire is still there to serve. And so she saw it as a natural, you know, that she discerned with me that God was calling me to do that. So that's been huge, absolutely huge, the love and support of the wife.
Well, Deacon Harold Burke-Sievers, you have been incredible, and we need to take another quick moment to thank our underwriters. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back.